For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Good morning. Welcome into the show. Another edition of the Dynasty Dugout Show. Today is Wednesday, March the 13th. We're going to talk more baseball. Today is another fun farm system to break down. It is the New York Yankees. It'll be a fun one for sure. They have a lot of talented prospects that I'm excited to talk about. Also, a couple news and notes. Dylan Cease is going to be traded. It seems pretty inevitable at this point. The White Sox are already working on another addition after this trade. It's just, where does Dylan Cease land? I don't know if it's the Yankees, the Rangers. You would think that the Yankees make the strongest push for him, just given everything that's been going on with Gerrit Cole. So obviously that would be a great move for the Yankees. You know, does he fit in Yankee Stadium? It's hard to really say. It's a tough spot for him to pitch, but we will see how that all works out. And maybe this trade goes down as we are recording. You know, I think things are pretty imminent at this point. But what's the fallout from this? Who takes a spot? Maybe they sign somebody, but, you know, Nick Nastrini is an option. I wrote him up in yesterday's Dynasty Digest. You can check that out on the site. He struck out 7 over 3 scoreless innings, and this spring's allowed just 1 run over 7 innings of work. I mean, he looked very, very good. It's a mid-90s fastball with good life up in the zone. He has 2 solid breaking balls and a 12-6 curve and a shorter breaking harder slider. He does throw a changeup. I do think the changeup will need to improve, as well as the strike throwing abilities for him to, you know, be a solid starter long term. But I really believe in the stuff here, and I think this is a real possibility for Nick Nastrini to get some run if he does find himself, or the White Sox find themselves, down a rotation member trading Dylan Cease. We know Jackson Merrill's made the team. This is not a surprise. If you've been reading my work, they've been talking about him for some time as a guy that would break camp with them. So that's obviously really, really encouraging. I'm excited to see what Jackson Merrill does. He'll start the season as a 20-year-old in Major League Ball. He's actually going to be with him in Korea, which is really, really cool. So that's fun. Jackson Jobe took all the buzz yesterday on social media, hitting 100. Actually hitting 101.8, but averaging over 100 miles an hour on the fastball. Sweepers look good. Changeups looks good. This was not a shock. It was a 13-pitch outing, and Jobe already set 96-97. So if he ticks up one tick, then, yeah, that'd be awesome over full starts. If he's sitting 97-98, you know, I think that's a real possibility. Jobe's a big strike thrower. Do we see Jobe this year? We do, but I'm not sure how much. I think that's the biggest question, is how much do we see of Jackson Jobe this year? And I'm not sure it's enough to make a big impact. Brendan Rodgers, I think, is going to have a strong bounce back this year. He's looked good this spring. Wrote him up. Victor Scott might be playing his way into the opening day lineup. I mean, they're down some injuries, and Scott had another 3-hit day. Still his 4th base of the spring. He plays an elite center field defense. He makes good contact. He's got good power. This kid's better than Estuary Ruiz, and I think that he's going to potentially be in that lineup on day one, which would be pretty wild. The Red Sox situation is getting pretty interesting. So Don Rafaela homered again. He's one that I think he makes the lineup. Yeah, I put out a tweet yesterday, and people got upset about it. Like, they should put him at shortstop, and they should put Story at second base, because, you know, I know Rafaela is a Gold Glove center fielder, but also he could be a Gold Glove shortstop. Like, The kid played an excellent shortstop in the minors. I saw it with my own eyes a lot in Greenville. He's a stud across the diamond. I know he's a Gold Glove center fielder, but he's a very, very good shortstop as well. He's got power. He's got speed. This situation is going to get interesting. Maybe while you're Abreu is the odd man out, he has struggled some this spring. Lawrence Butler might work his way into Oakland's lineup. He had another big day. He's hitting really, really well. He is hitting .433 with a .1053 OPS this spring. His contact rate made major gains last year, jumping 10 percentage points. He's got power. He's got speed. Butler kind of does it all. So Butler is a pretty exciting type of bat that could be a big impact this year. I think he works his way into that lineup. A couple more guys I think could break camp with the team are Chase DeLauder, who continues to rake, and we know the Guardians outfield situation is not great. There's opportunities here. He homered again. He's slashing .467, .529, .933. I mean, people can complain about the swing all they want to, but he gets results, and it's not even a swing issue. It's a short follow-through. Contact is good. The power is good. DeLauder has speed as well, so he's a really fun one. And finally, Drew Thorpe. The Padres back in the rotation's kind of in shambles. I don't see Matt Waldron being the guy. I mean, I just don't see it. I think Johnny Brito's in the fourth spot. Don't think Matt Waldron's in the fifth spot. I think this could go to Drew Thorpe. Listening to the way that Mike Schilt talked about him yesterday, listening to the way that the team has talked about Merrill in the same way, I think that Thorpe could work his way into this rotation in April. So that'd be really fun to see. I love seeing the young guys get their shot early. But who are the guys for the Yankees? We're going to look at those guys. Who could be up? As always, if you have any questions, feel free to drop them in the chat. I appreciate you all joining us this morning. But let's break down the Yankees' top prospects, starting with Jason Dominguez. Dominguez is obviously the top guy in the system. He is elite. I mean, we saw it last year. He came up. He absolutely dominated a small sample MLB. I mean, this kid got such unfair comps when he signed. I mean, you were getting Mike Trout, Mickey Mantle, and Bo Jackson all in one, which is just pretty wild. But I think he's lived up to the hype pretty well, in all honesty. I mean, he had a strong double A last year, hit 15 homers, stole 37 bases. He spent just 9 games in AAA before getting his call to the majors. I mean, you look, he has big power. He had a 106 mile an hour ninth percentile last year. Contact rates made a really good jump throughout the season. They ticked upward. And you look, he's got speed as well. I mean, the body has fluctuated. I think there's been questions about, like, he's had like, you know, 3 major body changes in his short time as a professional, but he's still a good athlete. He still has power and speed. He still runs really well. So Dominguez is a type that has all the potential in the world to be like a 30-30 type. Maybe he doesn't steal that much. We'll see. But Jason is legit. I think that he is one that ultimately could, when he returns, step in and immediately be a solid contributor again. Obviously, having Tommy John, having that UCL tear, really stinks for somebody that was breaking out. But with Dominguez, I mean, all the intangibles are there. The fact that they brought this kid up last year tells you what you need to know. There's going to be a spot for him in this lineup when he does return. And the fun thing is that he's maybe come back sooner than later. I mean, they're talking about him in minor league game in April or May, which would be really awesome to see. So Dominguez, obviously a stud. He is the top of this farm. But this guy's making a push, and that's Spencer Jones, who big 6'7" lefty. Obviously, he gets the comps to Aaron Judge, just for being tall. This was a two-way player at Vanderbilt. He was a pitcher, but he had TJ in 2022, or he kept him out most 2022. When he returned, he was just a hitter, and ultimately, that worked out for the best. The power comes very easily. He had a 94-mile-an-hour average exit velocity last year, which is crazy legit. Big-time power, and no surprise. The interesting thing is he only hit 16 home runs, likely due to his ground ball rate being fairly high at 47%. The athleticism is there. I had a game or a week that I covered in Greenville when Hudson Valley was here, and I clocked Spencer Jones, an 11-second home to third. For reference, Corbin Carroll, fastest ever home to third at 10.75 seconds. So Spencer Jones is not like a fast, like sprint speed guy, but with the long legs, he gets going, he gets moving, and he's hard to stop. This guy is very legit. The contact rate's improved all year. He was running just a 68% contact rate through June 15th, and that number jumped to 75% in the second half, which is pretty notable. Like, that's a sizable jump in contact. We've seen him obviously mash some crazy big home runs this spring. He's generated a lot of excitement. This type of player with this kind of power and speed is always going to be buzzy. I think the swing and miss is the biggest question. What kind of batting average does he post? It's a good question, but there's 30 home run pop easily. I think he could steal 15 to 20 bags potentially. There's certainly that potential there with Spencer Jones. Next guy I'm very excited about, who I think vaults up probably to the top of the system by the end of the year, because I do think that Jones and Jason both graduate, is Roderick Arias. Arias was the top signing in 2022, $4 million. He struggled in the DSL in his first stint. Everybody's like, whoa, is this guy not legit? But the breakout was happening in 2023, but unfortunately, his season ended early due to hand surgery. He hit 6 home runs in 27 games. The contact skills were much improved last year. He got on base at a 423 clip with a 505 slug. The ninth percentile exit velocity at 18 was already above MLB average. The contact rates improved, as I mentioned. The chase rate went down from what his DSL number was. These are all very positive signs for an 18-year-old. The question is, we got that in the chat, does Arias stick at shortstop? I do believe so for the time being. You know, he could potentially move off, but right now there's really nothing that screams like that he's moving off to me. And maybe down the road, if he does end up growing, he does fill out a little more, slow down. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could move off the position. But right now, you know, I look at him and I think that he's probably a shortstop through and through. He's very athletic. I think he handles it well. So yeah, I'm leaning towards him sticking at the position long term. So just the athleticism with the skill set there, really, really good. Next guy, Chase Hampton. He was incredible last year. Major pop-up last year. I mean, he was a sixth rounder out of Texas Tech in 2022. Didn't really get any buzz. Then he's absolutely dominant. I mean, he looked like a first-round caliber player, not a sixth. He had 47 innings in Hudson Valley with a 2.68 ERA with 77 Ks. The ERA did look slightly inflated in AA, but in 7 of his 11 starts in AA, he allowed 2 earned runs or less. This is a guy that I randomly caught that Hudson Valley series when they were down here in Greenville, and I had no clue what I was in for with Chase Hampton. And it didn't even start out good. I probably saw his worst start of the year. He coughed up 4 earned runs in the first inning. Blaze Jordan hit a monster home run off of him. Then he settled in nicely. He struck out 10 over that start. I saw a lot of resilience. Like, he bounced back. And to go from allowing 4 earned over in the first inning to bouncing back and striking out 10 over 5 was rather impressive. Yeah, the fastball, it's mid-90s. It's high IVB. It's really good swing and miss at the top of the zone. And actually, he had the second highest CSW in all the minors last year, only behind Kyle Hurt, which is pretty impressive. I mean, Hampton was a dude. I think the slider's really good. It's advanced pitch. Throws it to lefties and righties in the mid to upper 80s. Very high whiff numbers on that. Curveball is a true 12-6 shape. Sits in the upper 70s. And it changes the eye level pretty well. He threw a cutter last year, which was a new pitch with a shorter break, a nice bridge between the fastball and slider, and he has a changeup that he doesn't throw all that often. He throws strikes. He misses bats. He averaged nearly 5.5 innings per start. Hampton is a great dynasty buy, and you know, with the questions in this rotation, I think that Hampton could be up sooner than later, which is really, really encouraging. I love Chase Hampton and what he brings to the table. As I do this guy, Will Warren, I think may have that fifth rotation spot. Unless they trade for Dylan Cease, you know, I think Warren could step right in. And even if they do, you know, there's, I think, some injury risk still in the rotation. And there's a chance for Warren, who was an eighth rounder, another great find in development by the Yankees. He had a great first pro season in 2022. He's another one where I caught his first ever pro start and I had no clue who he was. Like, this was a kid, eighth round out of southeastern Louisiana. First pro start, he comes to Greenville. Like, okay, this kid's pretty interesting. And last year, he had a really good year. He's thrown 129 innings in the last two seasons, which is very encouraging. He had one of the best stuff plus ratings in AAA by Eno Saris's model, which that speaks a lot of volumes. There were some good pitchers in AAA last year. You look at the stuff, and it's really good. He throws two variations of the fastball, a four-seam with more ride and some run, and the sinker that he throws down that has like 16, 17 inches of arm side run. It induces a lot of weak contact, which is a good pitch to go to in a jam. The sweeper is absolutely nasty. It's by far his best secondary, maybe his best pitch, averaging like 17-plus inches of sweep. It's very, very good. It misses bats at a high clip. And ultimately, it had a 40% whiff rate and 20% swing strike rate. That is absolutely nasty. You know, you look at this profile, and only two major league starters had a sweeper with a whiff rate of 40% last year. So that shows you the impressiveness of Warren's sweeper. He mixes in a variation of a slider cutter with shorter break and more ride to it. He throws a changeup that has a lot of fade as well. And over his final six starts of last season, 1.82 ERA, 36 strikeouts in 35 innings. I think Warren's a mid-rotation starter, and I think Warren probably contributes pretty soon. This next guy is a bit of a faller for me. It's Everson Pereira, who may just be eternally blocked in this system, unfortunately. The contact skills aren't great with Pereira. You know, he looks good under the surface. I mean, the minor leagues last year, he posted a 300, 373, 548 slash with 18 home runs between AA and AAA. He earned a call-up. He almost eclipsed prospect eligibility. The major league sample wasn't good, but Pereira hits the ball hard, like talking ninth percentile of 109 miles an hour, which is elite. I mean, that's very, very good, a max of 115. The biggest question is the contact skills. He ran a 65% contact rate and a zone rate of 75%, which are both really, really low. Those will need to be majorly improved on. The swing rates are league average. He doesn't get overly aggressive. He keeps the chase rate in check, but ultimately, he's just a swing and miss. The power and speed is a lot of fun with Everson Pereira, but the contact, I think, may hold him back, which I hate. I hope that he gets this figured out because there is a lot of talent and there's a lot of upside with the power and the speed. But if we don't figure out the contact, which he might, he's still a young kid, it's going to always be a detriment. Right now, there's not a great fit for him in the Yankees outfield, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, does he get traded? Does he stay in AAA? Maybe he's part of the Dylan Cease package, which would be interesting. I mean, I don't want him to go to the White Sox, but if he does end up there, then okay, that's at least playing time. So I'd be curious to see how that shakes out. I know that the Yankees weren't willing to include Spencer Jones in that deal, so we will see what happens with that trade and if it is the Yankees, how that works out. So, next guy who probably vaults up boards pretty significantly is Henry Lalanne. He is rather impressive. Another big 6'7" guy in this system. He much resembles Yuri Perez, but from the left side. It's funny because he signed back in 2021 and he spent two summers in the DSL. Usually that doesn't happen for this caliber player. But when he jumped to the complex last year, he was easily the best arm there. The ERA looked rough at 4.57, but one bad start really hurt it. The peripheral numbers were really good, like mid-2s, xFIP and FIP and such. He struck out 34 batters across 21 innings with just four walks. The stuff is really good. Fastball already sits mid-90s, but it gets on you so quickly due to his 6'7" frame, his big extension, and his really tough release point. So it's hard to pick up. It's the changeup tunnels off of it well. It gets really good fade. And the sweeper, absolutely dominant. It had an absurd whiff rate on it, very high. It gets a ton of whiffs. It gets a ton of chase. You know, I look at this arsenal, and I think there's 3+ pitches already in the fastball, the changeup, and the slider. All different velo bands too, which is good. He throws all pitches to all batters, so he throws the slider to the back foot of righties too, which is encouraging. I think this is just a guy that could break out. He has all the traits that we saw of Eury Pérez at the complex. And now not everybody's going to turn into Eury Pérez. But Henry Lalanne certainly has that potential and upside to vault up rankings pretty significantly. And I wouldn't be shocked if this is what happens here with Lalanne in 2024. Is the Yankees catcher this year going to be Austin Wells? I mean, maybe. I think he gets plenty of reps in the majors. I think he's going to get a shot at catcher. We'll see if it sticks. I'm not really sure, but first rounder back in 2020, he had a very strong career at the University of Arizona. He had big pop when he was drafted. Everybody was like, man, this bat is going to play perfectly in Yankee Stadium. Obviously a lefty, the short porch, big power. And we potentially will see that on display this year. The contact skills are solid. I think people want to write him off and say the contact's not there. But 74% overall, 83% in zone is actually much better than you think, given the batting averages that he runs. So really good contact skills. His chase rates and swing rates are about league average. And he plays up in OBP league. He gets a really high walk rate. He knows how to take pitch. And I really like Wells more in an OBP format. Power comes really easily. He has a big glit kick. He has an explosive lower half. He has big bat speed. The exit velocities are really good. This could be a 25 to 30 home run bat in Yankee Stadium. Even if he doesn't stick behind the plate, if he has to move to a corner, if he moves to DH, the bat's still going to play for Austin Wells. And I think even with some struggles this year, I think the Yankees give him a shot. I believe he probably splits time with Jose Trevino. So that'd be interesting to follow there. But Austin Wells, a really fun one to follow. Let's talk about the Yankees' first rounder this year. That's George Lombard Jr. Very projectable, 6'3", 190 frame. He was young for the class. He turned 18 last June, so one of the youngest players in the draft class. Very high baseball HQ. Obviously grew up around his father, who played in the majors and also is an MLB coach. Huge benefit there when you get that kind of training, and that's the kind of father you have. So Lombard has a lot of talent. He's got skills across the board. Like as a prep bat, he showed a really good feel for exit velocity. Hit the ball hard. He picked up spin well. He hit high velo well too with fastballs. Like that's always an encouraging thing and always a question for prep guys. He's an above average runner right now, athletic frame. If he fills out, he could slow down a bit. But I think there's potential above average power and speed in the profile at the moment. Could be plus power, average speed. We'll kind of see how his body develops. The tools are there. The plate discipline's solid. He walked more than he struck out in a small pro sample. I think this could be a 2020 type shortstop. I really do. And I think Lombard is oddly a Yankees prospect that doesn't get the Yankees tax. Most guys get a huge boost, especially a first rounder and a first rounder with bloodlines at that. But Lombard didn't really get that buzz, which is interesting. But I do think that Lombard is still a very solid get in Dynasty. I think his value is only going to move up even more. So he's one that I'm taking a shot on in a lot of leagues where I can. We talk Austin Wells, but the Yankees also have a couple of other catchers too. Ben Rice is one. Augustin Ramirez is another, like both of those guys. Let's talk a little bit of Ben Rice right now because his story is incredible. He was drafted 12th round in the 2021 draft out of Dartmouth College. He played just 23 games as a freshman in 2019, and he was slated to have a big role in 2020. COVID obviously shut down that season, And the Ivy League did not play again in 2021. So he went 2 years out of baseball. He still got drafted, and he built his stock up enough in summer ball that the Yankees liked what they saw. They took a shot on him. 2022 was just a fine pro debut. Nothing really jumped off the page. But in 2023, hit 20 home runs, 16 of those coming in just 222 double-A plate appearances, while he slashed 327, 401, 648. Among minor league hitters with 250 plate appearances, Rice led them all with a 183 WRC+. The underlying data was good as well. Maybe you think, oh, this was fluky. 91-mile-an-hour average exit velocity is very good by MLB standards. A 104.9th percentile is above MLB average. He hits the ball at ideal launch angles. His sweet spot percentage is very high. He's very disciplined. He chased less than 20% of pitches out of the zone, which is very encouraging. The overall contact rate was near 80% with a zone rate of 85%. This is a very legit hitting profile with Ben Rice. Whether he sticks behind the plate, whether he moves to first base, whether he is a DH, still to be determined. But I look at this profile, and I just absolutely love the bat and what Ben Rice brings to the table. He's not underrated anymore, but I still think this is a bat that's probably not talked about enough. This is Augustin Ramirez, who signed for $400K way back in 2018. But unfortunately, injuries, COVID, all those things set him back pretty significantly. 2023 was a really good year for him. The underlying data was super good in 2022, and it kind of caught my eye. The exit velocities were elite, and he posted really good numbers in 2023 between three levels. He reached AAA. He slashed 271, 364, 455 with 18 homers and 42 extra base hits. And Augustin Ramirez also stole 12 bases. The average exit velocity was north of 91 miles an hour. He had a really strong 9th percentile exit velocity. You saw a couple this spring that he hit super hard. The biggest question is launch angle. Like, with Ramirez, how often does he get to ideal launch angles? And if he does that more often, I think there's 25 home run pop in this bat. The contact skills are good. He had 75% contact and a zone rate north of 84%. It's really good there. Disciplined hitter, going to get on base at a high clip. Augustin Ramirez is somebody that I like a lot. A couple other guys to mention as we keep running down this list. A couple of young middle infield types. Emmanuel Tejeda. He signed for $40K in 2022, and he has vastly outperformed that bonus already. In 2023, he posted a 303, 465, 458 slash. He had a 20% strikeout and walk rate, so equal strikeouts to walks last year in the complex. Runs really low chase rates. He has a very advanced approach. And the interesting thing is that while he hasn't struck out, he does have some swing and miss, like he showed under the hood, which is pretty interesting. But he was one of the top performers in the complex league last year. He will be 19 in full season ball this year in single A. I think he's worth a buy. There's some good upside here, and he's shown some good things. That's Emmanuel Tejeda. Kiner Delgado, another one. He is small. He packs a punch, man. He signed for $100K back in 2021. He hit the ground running in the DSL. In 2022, he stole 34 bags in 53 games, and he slashed 310. 504 on base and a 506 slug. He came stateside, and it was still really good performance. This time he hit 8 homers, and he slashed 295, 413, 486. We're looking at a switch hitter who has strong plate discipline and contact from both sides of the plate. As a lefty, he had an 891 OPS. As a righty, a 959. Very solid from both. He's selective. He's low swing rate, low chase rate. He has high walk rates. 19.7% for his career so far. The bat to ball skills are really, really good here. And he's got some pop for his size, and he's got really good speed. Delgado is a lot of fun, and he's one to certainly keep tabs on, as there is a lot of potential in this small frame of Kiner Delgado. You get questions like, what happened to Brando Maia? And that's a good question. This is the classic case of, well, ultimately, Mayo was really good at a really young age. And, you know, his body kind of progressed in the wrong direction. That's always interesting to me. I look at this profile and it's like, okay, he signed for $5 million. But there was rumors, actually, that the Yankees wanted out of this deal, which is interesting because of how things had changed. I think that if he had not gotten the deal so early, he probably would have gotten, you know, a third of the $5 million bonus. Mayo still has potential. I look at this profile, and it's one I like. I think that there's still upside here in this profile, but he's not the top guy that I thought he was coming out last year, and I was very high on him coming to the international period in 2023. But, you know, certainly the case where things have changed and he has shown some body regression. He had some injuries. He posted a decent slash last year, 267, 382, 400 with 3 home runs and 22 stolen bases. He doesn't have a huge frame, but he's athletic. He posted some decent exit velocities at times. He did spend the entire season as a 17-year-old, so there's a chance that he could get back to who the Yankees thought he was going to be, because they signed this guy thinking that he was going to be a very high-profile bat. I hope he'll get back to that. I want him to succeed, but there are some changes that need to be made. We'll see if he's still a good buy. I think we need to see him in action. He'll be at the complex this year, so we'll get some better looks at Brando Maia, who I have really liked in the past, and I hope that he will bounce back. John Cruz is a really buzzy name, and he is one that everybody talks about as like a top 100 fantasy prospect. He posted a 294, 376, 531 slash. He had 10 home runs and 19 extra base hits at the complex and 202 plate appearances. He was part of that 2022 international class with Roderick Arias. And on the surface, it seemed like John Cruz may be ready for a full breakout this year. He's a big guy, 6'3", 171. But the underlying data actually was not good at all. Everybody just looks at the surface and, oh man, this guy was so good. But his exit velocities weren't great. His expected slug was 370 compared to a 531 actual, which is pretty wild. And I know he has room to fill out the frame. Like, you look, he's 6'3", 170. Okay, like, he can certainly add to the exit velocities, but poor launch angles. He had a 5-degree launch angle on pulled balls and a 2-degree launch angle on hard hit balls. The contact skills are fine. He was 73% overall, which is fine for his age. He did swipe 13 bags. I don't think that steals are going to be part of John Cruz's game. I think he is... I don't know. I'm more careful with John Cruz than most until I see a little more. I want to see a larger sample of the performance, and we'll see from there. But the data did not back the performance at all. One of those cases where it's like, okay, this is a guy who the underlying data just didn't really match. And so I'm watching that rather closely this year. Let's keep going here. Talk some Yorbit Vivas, who was traded over to the Yankees. He was kind of talked about like a throw-in in that trade, but Vivas is certainly much better than that. He's smaller, but doesn't let that get in the way. He is a really good hitter. He gets on base at a high clip. Vivas last year, 269, 381, 407. He had 13 homers and 25 stolen bases between AA and AAA. It's a very short and simple swing, but it's very quick. He gets good barrel control. He makes contact at a high clip. 81% overall contact. Last year, he showed low chase rates and high end zone contact. The power is probably below average, but you can expect a 10 to 15 home run type bat who does have pretty sneaky speed. So Vivas is a little bit underrated. I think that he was just kind of talked about as like a throw in that trade. But there is still a lot to like here with Yorbit Vivas. Jared Serna is really interesting. Similar mold where he was a smaller second base type. And I think he caught a lot of people off guard when he began the year so hot. He's a versatile guy, played some second, played some short, played some third. He hit between single A and high last year, 284, 350, 463. Serna hit 19 home runs and stole 29 bases, so much more than you might expect there when looking at the smaller type frame. He did get to some pop, which is pretty interesting. The data on him was kind of a mixed bag. I mean, you're looking at an average EV like 87.5 and ninth percentile at 102.5. The contact rates were fine. I mean, they were probably slightly above average for minor league standards. I like Serna. I think he's pretty interesting and probably doesn't get talked about enough, but really not all that dissimilar from Yorbit Vivas, who both are pretty interesting guys. So certainly two that I am watching there. I want to talk a little Clayton Beter, because I do think that Beter has a chance to get a rotation spot. He has pitched really good. When he was in the Dodgers org, they were like, kept him on training wheels. They wouldn't let him go more than like three innings per outing. He had a previous career high of 77 innings before 2023, in which Beter threw 131 and two-thirds. He had a 3.62 ERA and 165 strikeouts between AA and AAA. Beter has a good fastball, low to mid-90s, good ride up in the zone. The slider, he throws quite often, which I like to see. It's a low to mid-80s pitch. It's shorter horizontal, nice depth to it. Best swing and miss pitch. Had a 40% whiff rate last year on it and a 15% swing and strike rate. He doesn't throw a changeup or curve very often, but both do have pretty unique traits. Changeup sits mid-80s, nice fade. The curveball sits around 80 with good downward action. I thought Beter was probably a surefire reliever, but maybe there's a chance here that he kind of pushes past that. Going deeper into starts, he was showing some good traits as a starter last year. So Beter is all of a sudden a lot more interesting to me. I think there's a chance here he could get a spot in this rotation sooner than later. Brock Selvidge might be one of the most underrated arms in the system. Since he was drafted in the third round of 2021, we're looking at a 3.31 ERA with 194 strikeouts in 174 innings. The Yankees obviously loved what they saw. They gave him a well above slot, you know, a bonus in that draft. Fastball sits in the low 90s, but it actually ticked up throughout the year. He set 94 to 95 in some starts. He added a high 80s cutter with high spin, mixes in a sinker as well. Changeup plays well off the fastball with good fading action. He's athletic. He throws strikes. I think Brock Selvidge might be the most underrated arm in this system. And, you know, in a system that a lot of guys get hype, Selvidge, isn't it? And I think that he is actually really good investment, a good lefty arm, pitchability type. I think that he probably pops on more radars next year. So he's a good investment for me. This is another lefty, Kyle Carr, who they took in the third round of 2023. Carr missed his senior year of high school with TJ, and he missed a lot of his first 2 years of college as well. He moved to Palomar Junior College. He posted a 2.31 ERA with 111 strikeouts and 78 innings. This is a mid-90s fastball with Carr. Good riding action up in the zone. I think you look at a 6'1", 175 frame, and you can see room for more. His fastball tops out at 97, but I think it could get a lot higher. The slider is a really good offering from a tough release point from the lefty. It has long vertical movement, and he really snaps it off. He misses bats. The changeup development will be huge for Carr to be a viable starter, but there were some videos before spring training games started of Carr making some major league hitters look pretty silly. So Kyle Carr is a name to know in the system. Third rounder this year. And I know everybody wants me to talk about Carlos LaGrange, another 6'7" arm. Him and Henry Lalanne both on the same team. LaGrange signed for $10,000 back in 2022. He has shown really strong skills at both the DSL and the complex. Very high strikeout rates. He did show some walk issues, had 12% walk rate last year. Control, really been the biggest issue. The stuff is there, though. mid-90s fastball that touches triple digits, gets really good sinking action, good arm side run, locates it down well. He will throw a four-seamer up, but the sinker actually is really good pitch, and it works really well for him. Slider sits in the mid-80s. It gets a ton of downward movement, kind of appears more as a curveball, but LaGrange shows that slider curve to be a plus pitch, I believe. Changeup development, still coming, but I think that could play really nicely off the fastball. It's easy velocity, but the command will really need to tick up with Carlos LaGrange if we want to see him be a starter long term. A couple other guys to mention before we get out of here. Justin Lang, he's a big 6'4" righty. The surface numbers weren't overly impressive. He had a 4.75 ERA last year. He walked 63 batters in 85 innings, which isn't great. But 131 strikeouts in 85 innings is rather impressive. The strike rate was not as bad as you might think for somebody with those walks. It was 60.5%. So it's below average, but it's not like insanely high walk rate stuff. I mean, he generates a ton of whiffs with the fastball. His cutter works anywhere from 87 to 90 miles an hour. The slider sits in the low 80s with good sweep. Gets plenty of whiffs. Changeup shows really good fading action. It's up to 23 inches of fade, which is kind of absurd. I think it's a really fun arsenal to dream on with Justin Lang if all comes together with the command. We still need to see improvements there, but at the end of the day, I do think there is a lot to like with Lang in this profile, and maybe, just maybe, if he figures it out, he can be a starter long term. If not, I think this is a really good back end reliever. All the stuff is there for him to be that guy. Luis Cerna, Yoendry Gomez, those are both interesting arms that I like in the system. Cerna is still really young. He's still 19. I think Cerna has the potential to vault up in this system. If we're looking at somebody that could really break out, it could be Luis Cerna. He's got good stuff. He didn't put it all together last year like I thought, but maybe this is the year. Rock Riggio was a drafty second baseman last year. He's got really good contact skills. He's a smaller frame, but he has some good pop in that profile as well. Christopher Familia put up really good numbers last year, but he was very old for the levels. I mean, he was 23 playing down in single A, so that's something of note. I really like Zach Messenger and Cade Smith a lot in this system. Some more arms to keep an eye on there. Both right-handers. Brendan Beck kind of popped a little bit last year. He is 25. He's a righty. Anthony Hall, an outfielder, 22 years old. He put up really good numbers last year. He may be a sneaky one in the system. Might be overlooked a bit, as is TJ Rumfield, 23-year-old third baseman. The Yankees do have a ton of talent in the system, as they usually do. I think some of it's going to be out the door soon if the trade does go to the White Sox to get Dylan Cease, which I think is a real possibility. And honestly, it just kind of sucks that Gerrit Cole went out. I mean, if you're not a Yankees fan, then I know they're hard to root for, but Gerrit Cole is really good for the game. You look at this profile, he's just one of the best pitchers year over year. So I hope that Gerrit Cole will stay healthy and can pitch this year, but signs don't look great. Do want to hit on a couple international signees that the Yankees had this year. Obviously, last year, Brando Mejia was the big one. This year, it was Francisco Villorio, who may actually be one of the more underrated guys in this class. I know that's crazy to say, but Francisco Villorio is really, really good. You know, he ultimately, I think, is an outfielder that could really pop on boards and really take off. He's a very projectable outfielder. He has a lot of power potential, and he's already grown into some of that, which is pretty encouraging. I really like what I've seen from Villorio, and while it's not like a super high-end bonus name, he's got all the tools in the world to be a really good middle-of-the-order bat, and I wouldn't be shocked if he kind of develops into that. Richard Matic, third baseman out of the DR, he's a pretty intriguing name. Dexter Peralta, shortstop out of the DR, those are one to keep an eye on. They did lose $1 million in this class for the signing of Carlos Rodon. So there's not one of those massive guys, but the Yankees do have somebody next year that will be one of the most talked about international prospects in some time. Obviously, that happens every year. Well, this guy's like, you know, the most talked about since blank. He's the best since blank. But there's certainly the potential there with the guy the Yankees have agreed to a deal with next year. Can't really put out any of that information, but, you know, the Yankees do have a deal next year that people are very, very excited about. I think that's going to wrap us up. Thanks for hanging out today as we broke down the Yankees farm system. Hope your Wednesday goes great, and I hope that you enjoy spring training action. Regular season will be here before you know it. I appreciate you all hanging out and hope you all have a great, great day.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.